for the introduction. What I'd like to present today is very low energy method for applying machine learning kernels. This is motivated by the need to monitor increasingly complex systems using low power sensor node. And the application we will consider for this is biomedical patient monitoring devices. What I mean when I say intelligent, What I mean when I say intelligent biomedical devices is devices that are capable of deciphering specific physiological states in a patient. If we can do this, then the devices can actuate therapeutic simulators like this vagus nerve simulator in a directed closed loop way, or perform chronic charting and monitoring in a directed way, or enable reliable prosthesis. But the challenge is that the signals that we can get from the body are physiologically complex and difficult to interpret. To illustrate the complexities, I have shown the example of seizure detection based on electroencephalographs, or EEG. EEG is the signal that we can measure on the scalp. The good thing is this signal is available non-invasively, but the problem is it does not represent seizure activity with high specificity. For example, this transient burst is normal EEG signal during sleep. We need to discriminate this with this, which corresponds to the onset of the seizure. The second challenge is that the characteristics of how seizures are exhibited are different from patient to patient. The excitation of rhythms in patient A is different from patient B. To overcome both challenges, an extremely powerful technique is data-driven modeling, which lets us to construct a high-order, high-specificity model of the signal. Now the challenge is to apply these models with low energy. Here's the outline. I will first discuss the energy trade-offs in data-driven modeling in the framework of supervised learning. Then, I will propose a method for overcoming energy scaling with model complexity. Then, I will present our experiments and results. We construct a data-driven model using supervised learning. The reason that the data-driven modeling is powerful is that recently, databases have emerged in clinical domain where physiological signals recorded in hospitals are stored along with the clinical annotations. But what makes it important for low-power devices is that the same signals are available in these devices through ambulatory recording technologies. So the low-power devices can directly take advantage of the data-driven models constructed from hospital databases. The typical framework of the data-driven detectors is shown here. There are two phases. The first phase is training, and the second phase is low-power real-time detection. Training involves constructing a high-order, high-specificity model from previous observations that have been assigned with clinical labels. But this phase is assumed to run offline and infrequently. Detection occurs continuously and in real time on a device, so energy is a concern. Within detection, there are two components to the computation. First, feature extraction, and second, classification of features by applying the high-order model. Feature extraction does not involve modeling. Here, we simply measure the values of parameters that we believe to be correlated with the states of interest. And we call them biomarkers. It's the job of the classification to discriminate these correlations using the model that was constructed. To analyze the energy of detection, we have considered two biomedical applications, In seizure detection, biomarkers are spectral energy extracted in 8 different frequency bands from each EEG channel over 3 epochs. Up to 18 EEG channels, this gives the feature vector dimensionality of 432. In arrhythm detection, morphology of the ECG waveform sampled around the QRS complex is used, which leads to 21 feature vector dimensionality. The feature vector dimensionality of 432 and 21 will affect the energy scaling of the classification. The next step is classifying features to detect seizures and arrhythmia. We use a popular machine learning classifier called Support Vector Machine. Conceptually, an SVM examines feature vectors in a high dimensionality space. It uses training data from positive and negative classes, and it samples vectors at the edge of these distributions to represent a decision boundary. The set of selected vectors along this boundary is called the support vectors, and these are used in this kernel computation then to classify the incoming test feature vectors based on the resulting sign. A kernel function, K, is commonly used to transform the feature vectors into a higher dimensionality space, which effectively allows the decision boundary to be much more flexible. So the number of support vectors and the feature vector dimensionality thus determine the complexity of the kernel computation. In this slide, I show the energy analysis of feature extraction and classification from a cycle accurate instruction set simulator. The classification energy dominates over the feature extraction energy by a factor of 30 and almost 20 in these applications. So, the classification energy is what we would like to focus on. And this surface plot has two key parameters which represent the model complexity. First, the number of support vectors, and second, the feature vector dimensionality. And the application we choose stress each of these respectively. Arrhythmia detection requires 15,000 support vectors, whereas seizure detection requires as many as 600. But the feature vector dimensionality can be as high as 432, which leads to the high classification energy. In this slide, I will discuss the importance of kernel nonlinearity, which causes energy scaling with the number of support vectors. If the kernel function K were a linear function, then the kernel computation is the dot product between the support vector and the test vector X. Thanks to the linearity, we can pull out X from the summation, and allowing the summation to be pre-computed over all the support vectors so that we can overcome the energy scaling. The problem is that the linear kernel does not provide sufficient flexibility in a decision boundary. In this example, linear kernel misinterprets many of the non-seizure points, whereas the radial basis function kernel provides much higher flexibility in the decision boundary. So as a result, this has been widely used in biomedical applications. But when energy is a concern, then we need to worry about the energy scaling of the RBF kernel, because the exponential function in the RBF kernel precludes precomputation. So, the kernel nonlinearity is important for accuracy, but we need to worry about the energy scaling. In this work, we have turned our focus to another type of kernel called the polynomial kernel. The polynomial kernel offers an intermediate level of flexibility compared to the RBF kernel. And because of that, it has not been widely explored in medical algorithms. But what is important here is that we propose a way to restructure this kernel structure the polykernel that permits pre-computation over all the support vectors so that we can overcome the energy scaling. The dot product and squaring in the polykernel can be rewritten in the vector multiplication form. Then we can pull out the vector x out of the summation, and then the computation becomes a vector matrix vector multiplication between the test vector and the new decision matrix. And because of that, we can overcome the energy scaling with the number of support vectors. Actually, what our proposed restructuring does is that it alters energy trade-offs. To illustrate the new energy trade space, I have analyzed the energy profiling results. The first figure shows the energy with respect to the number of support vectors. In linear kernel, the energy is constant and low, but the accuracy is also low, which we'll see in the next slide. The RBF and polykernel show linear scaling, but we can overcome this in the polykernel by using the computation restructuring that we propose. The accuracy of the polykernel is a concern, and I will show the results in the next slide. The second figure shows how the energy scales with the feature vector dimensionality. Because of the computation restructuring, that transforms support vectors into a decision matrix. Now we have quadratic energy scaling rather than linear. But what is important here is that there are several generic and several application-specific techniques that reduce the feature vector dimensionality, as I will show. And because of that, this energy trade-off can give us a valuable option. In this slide, I show the performance results of arrhythmia detection over 46 patients from MIT BIH arrhythmia database. Since this algorithm requires a large number of support vectors, energy scaling is a key concern here. But first, as shown in the table, the linear kernel shows poor performance, whereas the polykernel shows very close performance to the RBF kernel. Because of the large number of support vectors in this application, the energy scaling, the energy saving, thanks to the polykernel restructuring, are substantial. There is first a moderate energy savings of approximately 2.3x, simply going from an RBF kernel to the simpler polykernel. But then, computation restructuring gives additional 1100x energy savings by overcoming the support vector scaling. These are the performance results of EEG-based seizure detection. Since this is a patient-specific algorithm, we construct a classifier model and present results for each of the 22 patients. I apologize that these numbers are impossible to read, but I will direct you to the overall result in the bottom. And the RBF kernel performance is also shown in brackets for comparison. For individual patients, we have found that the RBF kernels were required for a few cases. But for the majority, the polykernels are as effective, and for some cases, even linear kernels were fine. over 22 patients, the average performance of using the polykernel for the most cases is close to the performance of the RBF kernel, as shown in the bottom table. In the new energy trade-off space introduced by computation restructuring, less feature vector dimensionality is advantageous to maximize energy saving. But seizure detection has a large number of features. In addition to generic techniques that have been reported, it has also shown for seizure detection that the feature vector dimensionality can be reduced by channel selection. To select channels, we incrementally add channels one by one until we get the close performance to the full channel. As shown in the figure, with only two EEG channels, the performance is close to the full 18 channels. And this reduces the number of features to 48. We applied similar techniques for other patients, and the results are shown here. After this channel selection, computation restructuring can be exploited for significant further energy savings. As an example, I have shown energy saving in patient number 7. Going from an RBF kernel to the polykernel saves energy by 11.2x. Due to the quadratic energy scaling of computation restructuring with respect to the feature vector dimensionality, it's not advantageous to apply computation restructuring directly. But after channel selection, computation restructuring saves energy by 3.2x. And which gives the total 36x energy saving by combining the use of polykernel and computation restructuring. The energy saving for other patients are also shown in the table. So here's a summary and conclusions. In SVM for biomedical applications, the polynomial kernels are underutilized, even though they offer some flexibility in the decision boundary. The advantage of the polykernel is that it gives an opportunity for computation restructuring. Computation restructuring trades off energy in the space defined by the number of support vectors and the feature vector dimensionality. This energy trade-off is favorable when the feature vector dimensionality is low, which is the case in biomedical applications, and this leads to significant energy savings. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Li. Any questions? Okay, Mr. Li, I have one question. And is the kernel you used is signal dependent or signal independent? I mean, can this kernel apply to other applications such as face detection or speech recognition?
Other detections like
other pattern recognition applications, such speech recognition and the other kinds of pattern recognition.
Other applications.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, we didn't explore that area yet, but I believe we can apply the same techniques for other applications, since this SVM technique is for generic proposed classifier. But I'm not quite sure about the energy savings that we get from the algorithms, or because the energy savings are a key parameter in our algorithm implementation, because we haven't explored it yet.
Okay.
But of course, we can apply this, the same techniques to other applications.
Okay. Then this is a energy constraint kernel solution.
Yes.
Solution. Okay, of course.
So he's using a support vector machine, which is quite a generic tool for any pattern recognitions, which the patterns can be represented by vectors. Mm-hmm. Okay, the performance and the energy saving is a different story. Mm-hmm. But in terms of supported vector machines, there are two key parameters. One is sigma, one is the penalty factor. There's a violation of margin penalty factor. Usually we fine-tune it for different applications. Mm-hmm. So that's just that's typical answer.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Okay, please.
Can you also reduce the number of electrodes that you use in the arrhythmia cases and get good performance in terms of energy savings? Or?
So what did you say, the number of?
Electrodes that you use in the arrhythmia, in the cardiac application.
A number of electrodes. When in EEG example, what we did was actually exactly like that. We have 18 full. We have 18 channels for EEG signal acquisition, but we use only 2, 3, or 4 EEG channels, EEG electrodes for our implementation. And for ECG, for arrhythmia detection algorithm, we actually use one EEG lead. So I think that's the maximum that we can reduce, I think.
Actually, I'm wondering this, the importance of this kind of job, because you know, you are doing for reducing computations and saving energy, right? So, but this kind, especially when you focus on seizure detections, this kind of job could be done in offline stage, right? So, why this kind of job is important for the online the energy saving implementation?
Especially for online, because by doing this online, we can enable the closed loop operation of these devices. As an example, I have this slide here. For example, in this application, say we have some seizures detected online using our devices. And this device can actuate some simulators or it can actuate some drug delivery system online.
I have one more short question. Is there any possibility to reduce number of support vectors before this kind of job? Do you understand me?
So your question is it possible to reduce
this kind of job? How about possibility to reduce? The inherently reduce the number of support vectors. If so, we can reduce the energy or power consumption.
Yeah, of course. If we can do this, then we can definitely reduce the energy of this classifier. But it actually depends on the signal the correlations in the signal. So, well, I think there's not many things that we can do for the number of support vectors, I guess.
We explored that possibility, published 2 years ago, and the special topic journals in this society. The general finding is you can, but the expense of performance. So if you lose 2%, you don't want to do it, 2 to 3% in accuracies. So to reduce 1,000 times in the energy power, energy saving, I don't think you can quite do it by reducing support vectors without a major a major degradation of your performance. So that's a very delicate trade-off.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you.